from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Friday, UC Davis students in support of Occupy Wall Street and protesting tuition hikes and university budget cuts were acted upon with force by police and were pepper sprayed while sitting in what has been described as peaceful civil disobedience. Faculty have called for the resignation of UC Chancellor Linda Katehi, but she has said she will not step down and will talk with the chancellor as well as one of the students who was pepper sprayed and a faculty member leading the call for her resignation. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Today, UC Davis announced that it has put Police Chief Annette Spikusa on administrative leave several days after her officers pepper-sprayed seated student demonstrators. The students had set up an encampment in support of the Occupy Wall Street movement and in protest of higher tuition costs and the use of force by police on the UC Berkeley campus. On Saturday, the UC Davis story attracted international media attention because of a video that went viral showing the police pepper-spraying students sitting together in what appeared to be peaceful protests. UC President Mark Udoff released a statement calling the images appalling. 9 students were pepper-sprayed, 2 were taken to the hospital and released. There were 10 arrests, and there have been calls by the faculty for the resignation of the chancellor. We want to focus on the ongoing controversy in this forum hour, and we want to welcome the chancellor to the program. And Chancellor Katehi, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Thank you.
Linda Katehi is the chancellor of the University of California, Davis, and joins us, obviously, from the Davis campus. Why order the police in the first place?
Well, it was only about a peaceful dismantling of the equipment in the encampment because the UC policies for health and safety reasons are suggestive that we do not allow camps to be set on our campuses. And we do care, especially in this particular case, we do care about the safety of our students. The group that set this up was not just UC Davis students. They had individuals from who were not affiliated with the campus. And so out of concern for the safety of the students, and after a day of having the camp up set on the quad, we suggested that the students remove the equipment. And so the police was called for nothing else but a very peaceful dismantling of the equipment. They were not supposed to use force. It was never called for. They were not supposed to move the students. They were not supposed to limit the students from having the rally, from congregating to express their anger and frustration primarily for all kinds of things that are going wrong, I guess, both on our campuses, in our state, in our nation, around the world.
Well, you saw the video. You called it chilling, in fact. And Mark Udoff, as I said, the president of the UC systems, the UC campuses, called it appalling. The real question is now, since faculty, student, alumni are calling for your resignation, and you've said you will not step down, the point is there was pepper spraying. If it was appalling, it was on your watch.
It happened, and it was unacceptable. In fact, what I saw on the video, it has been horrific, and it's not what really represents our campus. We really have to look very carefully at understand what happened, why these the two police policemen decided to use it. It was unacceptable that happened.
You saw the video, I presume, because I saw it as well, and they just very dispassionately,
absolutely,
students are seated there in civil disobedience,
absolutely,
went like they were spraying paint.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's a very correct characterization, and it's disheartening. I mean, as a person, as a chancellor, first of all, as an educator, as a human being, I was filled with outrage and sadness. It was horrible what I saw. And my commitment is that I really need to understand what went wrong, why this thing went so wrong, and we really need to try to take a quick action to make the appropriate corrections to make sure that that never happens again. But beyond that, we really need to bring the campus together.
Forgive me, but the University Faculty Association has said it's a gross failure of leadership on your part. That's really what I need you to get on record about. Why does the buck not stop with you as the chancellor?
It does, absolutely. You know, I mean, I, as a chancellor, I take responsibility for everything that happens on this campus. At the same time, our campus has policies, and the only reason we have those policies in place is to really make sure that the 32,000 students who are using our campus are safe, and we provide them with the appropriate conditions to really learn in an appropriate environment. So our campus has been, for the last 2.5 weeks, witnessed a lot of unrest. Our students are very upset with what they see around them, with tuition increases, with a reduction of the state funding in the UCs, with the economic situation. They have been protesting on our campuses, and that has been going on for some time.
Well, I know you want to move forward with this. You plan on meeting with the demonstrators today.
Absolutely.
At General Assembly. And also, haven't you called for a 30-day deadline for
Yes.
a task force investigation?
Exactly. So, as you indicated, the chief of the police and the two policemen have been put on an administrative leave. We are moving very fast, and we have a number of investigations underway. One by the DA to look at the excessive use of force, and another one by the Senate to look at the incident, and one that will be performed at the president level to look at the whole situation. So all of these, at least the one that I called for, which is the task force, I have called for a 30-day a report in 30 days to be given back so we can really take appropriate action. There are a lot of things we need to do on our campus, and I have to say, as a chancellor, I really believe that we need to move on. Our campus is a wonderful place. We have very high ideals. Last Friday was such a horrific incident, and we had such a horrific incident that really does not characterize of who we are. So it's time for us to move forward. We really need to bring the community together. I will spend a lot of time listening to the students and listening to the faculty and the staff and try to get ourselves together as a group and move on. We really need to come back to where we are and make our campus a better place.
President Yudof has actually, as you indicated, called for all 10 UC chancellors to meet to discuss appropriate action. We're talking to Linda Katehi, who is the chancellor of the University of California, Davis, where unfortunate events involving students being pepper sprayed took part. We've got some callers here that I'd like, if you have some time with us, Chancellor, you to respond to. And let me begin with a caller who was actually there and witnessed it. Sean, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, hello. Thank you. I was there. I saw two of my students pepper sprayed in the face. I'm a graduate student here. I saw several students vomiting and foaming at the mouth. This is inexcusable. Chancellor, yesterday on Aggie TV, our local student newspaper, you said that spraying students with pepper spray in this case was approved by university policy, and this was in accordance, and that certainly policy shouldn't be followed at all times. Obviously, you're responsible for university policy. Do you now retract that statement?
Second of all, can I explain what I said? I said, of course, the context was the following. I said, even if technically that the police were to characterize technically as within police code, I said it was an unacceptable act, that it was an unacceptable decision to use that type of force on students who were quietly sitting.
Well, forgive me, Chancellor, but someone from the police force was quoted as saying that it was acceptable. And
well, I understand. What I'm saying is that I don't know whom you're referring to.
Someone named Charles Kelly was quoted at length on this.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to correct what I said on this video that the person on the other line is referring to. I just wanted to correct the statement that I made. and make and put it on record that what I said was that even if people can argue that technically could have been within police code, what I said is that in my mind was totally unacceptable.
And one other question before we say goodbye to you, Chancellor. Why were you not there? A number of people have asked that question.
I don't go to demonstrations. The situation is at least the policy that the system has is that I don't participate in demonstrations. I don't go to when there are events and then of where, you know, groups gather and try to express themselves. I go to many events where I speak with faculty, staff, or students, but there are different types of forums. In fact, I don't go to rallies on our campus. Now, you can say that this is a wrong policy and I'm willing to reconsider it, but because usually those rallies and events are very volatile types of gatherings, I would say, I don't go to those. And that was part of it's part of the practice that we have on our campus and on the UC system.
Well, Chancellor Katehi, appreciate your spending this time with us, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Again, Linda Katehi is the Chancellor of the University of California, Davis, and Jeffrey Wildanger is a second-year graduate student in art history at UC Davis. He was pepper sprayed in the face, and Jeffrey Wildanger, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You were there, and give us a sense of what you were doing. You were just sitting peacefully with your arms folded, or what?
Yes, a number of us were just sitting peacefully with our arms linked. we were chanting to ask the police to release the people that they had arrested. And we had formed a circle, and the police officer, Lieutenant John Pike, stepped over the circle. He stepped outside of the circle. And then he pepper sprayed us three times as a group, and a couple individuals he pepper sprayed additional times individually.
Of course, there have been quotes from the police that students encircled officers. They were unable to get out. This is according to Police Chief Annette Spicuzzo, who's been put on an administrative leave. Your response to that?
Well, it's pretty clear if you watch the video that John Pike was inside the circle before he pepper sprayed us, and he pepper sprayed us while standing outside of the circle. There's actually a fantastic photo that's circulating on the internet with Chief Police Annette Spicuzzo's quote about the impeded movement of the police juxtaposed with a picture of John Pike stepping over the line of protesters as he's going out to pepper spray us.
And when you saw the officers, and it's really pretty chilling. People should look at the video, as I said earlier, to the chancellor, just spraying students almost dispassionately, I think is the way it was characterized, and that seems to be apt. What went in your mind?
Well, to me, I mean, my head was tucked down at the time. Obviously, I was hoping to not get any pepper spray in my eyes. And what was most terrifying, I guess, is the nonchalant attitude with which he carried out this brutality. You know, typically one expects that police brutality happens when the police are inflamed or exceptionally angry about a situation. But in fact, this was carried out, you know, as mundanely as if he was taking a walk in the park. Earlier, he had threatened us to shoot us. He wasn't clear. Presumably, he meant his with their paintball guns that have tear gas paintballs. But he'd whispered in a friend's ear that he was going to, if we didn't move, he would shoot us. And at that point, you know, it was becoming very, very frightening.
Do you feel that this has, in some ways, maybe even highlighted what you were protesting for? That it's given it more attention, and that may be a good thing?
Well, I think that it's certainly.
I mean, since in part your protest was because of the way that things were handled by police at UC Berkeley.
Definitely. I think that it has brought a lot of attention, just like in 2009, the 52 arrests on UC Davis campus, also when Katehi was just arriving here. Those also brought a lot of attention. I think that the UC Davis police are notorious for responding with unjustifiable force to protests in a way that one wouldn't expect in such a, you know, sort of a mainstream, middle-American type campuses, UC Davis.
Jeffrey Wildanger, again, is a second-year grad student in art history at UC Davis who was spray-painted in the episode that occurred on Friday. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I say pepper sprayed, yes. We also have Nathan Brown with us, assistant professor in the Department of English at UC Davis, also a member of the Davis faculty. And on Saturday, the Davis faculty called for the resignation of Chancellor Katehi. Professor Brown, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thanks for speaking with me.
This is, did you hear the chancellor essentially talk about how appalled she was at this earlier in the program here in this hour?
No, I did not. But what we've seen, the chancellor, since this incident occurred, is first sort of unequivocal statement of support of the police tactics. And since then, she's been engaged in a serious program of an obfuscation.
So you are calling for her resignation in spite of the fact that she indeed wants to move forward, wants to meet with demonstrators, has echoed support for demonstrators and so forth?
Well, the chancellor routinely says that she supports student protests on our campus. She routinely says in her emails to the campus community that primary concern is the health and safety of the student body at UC Davis. And as my letter points, those statements in writing and in speech are in no way consistent with the chancellor's actual actions. What the chancellor says is that she's concerned about the health and safety of UC Davis students. What the chancellor does...
Excuse me, she also said that she just that the police order was just to dismantle the encampment. It was not to pepper spray, and she was appalled that that the pepper spray was used the way it was.
The chancellor ordered police forces on the campus to disperse the encampment by force. And that's what happened. The chancellor has every reason to expect that what happened is exactly the sort of thing that will happen, because at Berkeley just the previous week, what we saw is that students had set up an encampment in solidarity with the National Occupy Movement. The chancellor at UC Berkeley ordered police to come in and remove that encampment. Just like at UC Davis, those students and faculty linked arms and stood their ground in front of the tents, and the police brutally beat them with batons. They seriously injured faculty. They seriously injured, hospitalized, and arrested students. 1 week after that, while students at UC Davis are protesting in solidarity with those Berkeley students against the use of police brutality on that campus, once again, the chancellor of UC Davis orders the police to come in and to forcibly disperse a peaceable demonstration. The chancellor has to recognize that when she orders riot police onto UC Davis, students and other community members get hurt. That's what happens when the police have been ordered onto UC campuses over the past 2 years. And that's why I say that the UC Davis chancellor, Linda Katehi, is in fact the primary threat to the health and safety of students at UC Davis.
Well, you've also said, I believe, that the police actually forced to open the eyes and throats and sprayed down the throats of some, pepper sprayed down the throats of some of these students, and that the police have been used on UC campuses to crush political dissent and suppress free speech and assembly. I mean, first of all, did you witness that first statement to have made it, that is spraying down the throat and eyes deliberately?
That statement is based on direct testimony from students and faculty who were present.
And what about the idea that this is police force on UC campuses is directly to crush political dissent and suppress free speech and assembly, when we have President Yudof saying he was appalled and he wants to have all the chancellors meet to talk about appropriate action?
Again, this is what the administration of the UC system always says. We've been hearing these responses from UC administrators for 2 years, but what has actually been happening is that tuition has been raising precipitously at UC campuses since 2004. When students and faculty protest those tuition increases, as they did all through the fall of 2009, as they did through the spring of 2009, as they're doing again this year, what happens is that university and other police forces are sent into campus, and those police forces have routinely brutalized students and faculty. So that's what I mean when I say that the administration of the university has consistently, systematically used police brutality as a tool to terrorize students and faculty on our campus, as a tool to suppress political dissent and free speech, and as a tool to enforce tuition increases. Because when students stand up and they say no, I will not pay any more tuition, I will not take any more debt, what happens is the police forces are sent in and they beat, hospitalize, and arrest those students.
Nathan Brown is assistant professor in the Department of English and a member of the Davis Faculty Association, which on Saturday called for the resignation of Chancellor Katehi over the pepper spray incident. And we thank you, Nathan Brown, for joining us on Forum this morning.
Thanks so much for speaking with me. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. And let's go to some of your calls. Robert joins us from Oakland to talk about the chancellor's role in this. Robert, welcome.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to cut to the heart of the matter here, which is whose side is the administration of the UC system on? And I suggest if they are on the side of the students, that means that President Neudorf, the regents, every chancellor on every campus have become the most fierce advocates for the students and act on behalf of the students. And that means fighting like hell, demanding taxes on the super rich and corporations, and put their effort there if they support the students.
All right. I thank you for those remarks, and I want to get some more of our callers on. Veronica from Davis, you're on.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Thank you, Tom. I just wanted
I don't know
to
who
say,
Tom is, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were Tom. Pardon me. I just wanted to say that Chancellor Katehi's idea for the task force is standard protocol by the university. We've seen the task force before. I myself have served on a task force. And the resolution, there is no resolution. It comes to no end. She said 90 days and then made it 30. This is not simply a task. This is a national and worldwide issue that needs to be addressed now. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that statement. And another caller from Sacramento. John, you're on. Good morning.
Yes, hi. I was wondering, you know, the statements from, as alumnus from both Berkeley and Davis, both chancellors keep saying that, you know, for the safety and health of our students, we're having these demonstrations broken up. But it seems antithetical to their case. I mean, what my question is what exactly, what health and safety concerns are they worried about that they would be so forceful in actually implementing these tactics? It just doesn't seem necessary. It seems, if anything, it inflames the situation as it did in Oakland and in New York. Just let them go. Let them be what they're going to do. And, you know, it'll peter out. It'll fizzle out. It'll just do its thing. But yet, when they go in with force, it only causes these situations to inflame.
All right. Again, I thank you for the call, and we can take more of your calls. If you'd like to join us and express yourself, you're certainly entitled to do so and invited to do so. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. Again, it's toll-free, 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to us, forum@kqed.org, or post your questions or comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, or go to our Facebook page. And let me, as we're coming up on the break, when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking to a couple of law enforcement experts about the police reaction. Facebook comment, putting the police chief on leave is a start, but not enough. What should really be done is for there to be an investigation of the officers who did the pepper spraying and put them on probation or in court. Another web comment, the parents of all the students should show up and link arms with their children. They were protesting tuition hikes at UC Davis, for heaven's sakes. No one deserves to be pepper sprayed like this, especially not when UC Davis faculty had voted in favor of the student protest. How old are these kids anyway? They are our children, and they need to be safe and afforded their First Amendment rights. Another listener says, why is it that those placed on leave, including the chief of police, Annette Spicuzza, and Lieutenant John Pike, who committed the atrocities on Friday afternoon at UC Davis, are still receiving pay? A doctoral candidate from UC Davis writes, question for Chancellor Katehi, who's gone. How do you plan to respond to the fact in just 3 days, more than 60,000 people have signed a petition demanding your immediate resignation? More when we return on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. UC Davis announced today that it has placed University Police Chief Annette Spicuzza on leave after her officers used pepper spray to move seated Occupy UC Davis protesters on Friday. That incident has raised international media attention, and it also led the Campus Faculty Association to call for the resignation of Chancellor Linda Katehi, whom we spoke to earlier in the program. She has said that she will not stepped down. We're discussing the controversy. We also spoke with Nathan Brown, an assistant professor in the Department of English, who is part of the Davis Faculty Association, which called for the resignation of Chancellor Katehi over the pepper spray incident. We also spoke with a second-year graduate student, Jeffrey Wildiger, who is at UC Davis and who was sprayed on Friday. We want to get into questions of law enforcement and how it was used in this incident. And I had mentioned earlier that one of the officers named Chris Kelly, who was originally with the Baltimore Police Department, has been quoted at length. And he said, Charles Kelly, excuse me. And by the way, we asked the police to come on and speak here with us. That is the UC Davis police officers, and they declined. But Officer Kelly essentially said that this is a compliance tool, that is, pepper spray is a compliance tool, and it's used on subjects who don't resist. And it's preferable, for example, to lifting them up and having to hoist them away or picking them up off the ground, which could presumably involve injuries or liability. Not that pepper spray is without serious injuries and liability, to be sure. But we wanted to look at this from a legal standpoint, and we welcome Joseph McNamara back to Forum, a friend of ours for many years, and someone at least who is on our program through the years, research fellow now at the Hoover Institution, retired police chief of San Jose. And Joe McNamara, good to have you back here on Forum. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
We also want to welcome Eugene O'Donnell, who is a professor of law and police studies at John Jay College in New York, a former NYPD police officer, and joins us this morning as well. And Eugene O'Donnell, good to have you. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Let me begin, Joe McNamara, with you. This is this whole idea into, well, let's get the precedent from it, from a legal standpoint, and what the precedent is as you see it, of actually pepper spraying people who are just sitting there in civil disobedience.
Well, I think in California law, the penal code says that the police can use necessary force to make an arrest. However, that force has to be reasonable and cannot be excessive. And in the end, the courts have ruled that using pepper spray on passive demonstrators is unnecessary force in these situations. The pepper spray devices originally came into police use to avoid violent attack, to protect officers and to protect others from violence. The TV pictures that I saw clearly indicated the demonstrators were sitting with their head down. There was no impending violence whatsoever.
Of course, you heard the reports that police were surrounded, or at least some reports.
Well, that's bizarre, really. I can't understand that.
It was not on the video.
I saw the television picture. There were a significant number of police just standing there, and how can you be surrounded by people that are sitting passively? If the police wanted to leave, they certainly could have left, and they could have just stepped over the people demonstrating. So the idea that they were surrounded or somehow threatened with violence just doesn't match what we saw on television.
So the use of pepper spray as an alternative to using deadly force, entirely inappropriate in this case, as you see it.
In my opinion, this was unnecessary force, and it's a major victory for the Occupy movement, because one of the criticisms of the movement is that they lacked focus. Well, this gives them a focus. The public, I suspect, will overwhelmingly be appalled by seeing that kind of image of the police using pepper spray, creating pain among demonstrators who are passive.
Judging by the response to the video and by the response we've received, it has been pretty overwhelming in terms of the public. But let me get Professor O'Donnell on here again. Eugene O'Donnell is professor of law and police studies at John Jay College in New York. And is there a countervailing view to what we just heard from Joe McNamara?
Well, with the caveat that the police really should not be inserted to these situations promiscuously, which they often are, this is a university issue. It's an issue that calls for university leadership, for the people in charge there to stand up and be counted and be in the front, and for the police, whenever possible, to be kept in reserve. Having said that, let's be honest. There's a schizophrenia about policing. One minute, people are asking, why were the police as aggressive as they were? In the very next breath, and we saw this in New York with Occupy Wall Street here, should the police stand by and allow somebody to get hurt, get injured, or be insufficiently affirmative when there's a need to do that, questions would be raised about that. And in this case, we know the ending. We know there was no violence used. In the light most favorable to the cops, they're arguing they could have been encircled. all the more reason why the cops should not be sent into these things unless it's absolutely necessary. They come with a force orientation, they come with weapons, and they have to protect those weapons, and they have to protect themselves. We need less use of the police and more use of people talking, more use of dialogue, and more leadership of people that aren't wearing uniforms, not just on campuses, but beyond that.
What about this notion, again, this came largely from Charles Kelly, one of the officers involved, that pepper spray is a compliance tool and it should be used even with subjects who don't resist, because otherwise you have to pick them up and lead them away, although that was not apparently a mandate or an order that was given in any...
Well, the best agency in the country for dealing with these situations unequivocally is the NYPD, which is definitely far from perfect. And even when they did their reoccupation the other day, they got their very best crowd control people. They trained them right before doing it. Their patrol guide specifically says when people are passively resisting, specifically it says do not use pepper spray in that situation. Again, though, it's very much a nuanced proposition, because all you have to add into that is the potential that there could be violence, the potential that the police did feel cut off, the potential that their weapons could be taken from them. Again, these are students, so it's highly unlikely. And also, of course, you have to weigh the reality that university police should be doing the service tasks they mostly are doing, and crowd control and public disorder is something they shouldn't generally be doing. If there's a need to do that, then there should be consideration about going outside to the very best crowd control people. University police are not oriented towards...
Well, they're not. In fact, I was just going to ask you, to my understanding, I don't know if there's even really much training for university police with crowd control.
Yeah, you don't want them to become, and some have said, and it's legitimate, that they get militarized, they get weaponized. Some of it's because of school shootings, some of it becomes hysterical. But university police are best suited to do the kinds of work that you expect them to do in the university. New York Police Department is as good as it gets, and it's far from perfect. And any time you're using the police, you are taking risks. And any police department can never afford to take victory laps about crowd control, because you're one day away from a big problem. There's no way to say it any more clearly than you do not need the police in a lot of these situations being front and center. You need non-police people to lead, and the police should be in reserve. Not just on this, by the way. You can make a list of things. The mentally ill is another one that comes to mind, where we overinsert the police and then wonder why we have tragic results.
Did you see the video, Professor O'Donnell?
I did see the video, yeah. But again, the crucial thing with a video is that we have the benefit of knowing how these things turn out. You can flip that over very easily. And, with crowd control, I don't know if people follow what happened in London or throughout the UK in terms of riots. I'm not making those comparisons, but it is interesting to me that people can turn on a dime. They can go from saying, I'm outraged about why the police are so aggressive, to I'm outraged why the police are so passive. Across the political spectrum in the UK, from the far left to the far right, people went out of their minds at the notion that the police stood back while there was violence and did nothing about it. Again, I'm not equating those two things, but it just shows the schizophrenia that characterizes a lot of the thinking in this area.
And again, Eugene O'Donnell is professor of law and police studies at John Jay College in New York, former NYPD police officer. Maybe get a response from both of you before we go to calls to a listener, Stephen, who writes, and Joe McNamara, to you first. He says, people such as Chancellor Katehi keep citing health and safety reasons as the reason for sending in police armed for riot control. Are riot police generally sent in for health code violations? No. This is a political action, abusing police power to intimidate and attempt to silence dissent, period.
Yes, it's true. As a former professor at John Jay, when I was with the NYPD, I have to point out the situation's a little bit different than in New York, because the campus police are a state police agency here, the same as the NYPD is a police agency, and so they were not inserted. It was their everyday duty to police that campus. But having said that, I think the professor is right that the police, by their tactics, can sometimes create a violent situation unnecessarily. And in this case, it's pretty clear there was no immediate threat of violence. The fact is that camping is somewhat different than what they were doing. They were merely sitting and demonstrating in a passive way with their heads down, and there was no imminent threat of any violence whatsoever. Whereas pitching tents where it's against the law, the very term occupying something is a connotation that the law is being broken. And, for example, if in our state parks people decided to put up tents and create those kind of unsanitary conditions, they'd be roundly condemned by the public. So I think what you have going here is a contest between the occupying demonstrators and the establishment, and the police are part of the establishment fighting for public approval. So the police tactics must, in the end, comply with what the public expects to be reasonable enforcement. And merely because there's a public outcry against demonstrations doesn't mean that the police can disregard the First Amendment's rulings by the court that even the most hateful speech has to be protected.
And Professor O'Donnell, we hear from you.
Well, obviously, the university police are in a unique position because they work for the university. So in that sense, they're more under control than ordinary police and more directly under control over accountable people, the town police, local police, city police. It's a little more diffuse about who is responsible. But in the university, the buck stops with the people that run the university in terms of how the police are used.
I want to read some comments here on the web. Somebody writes, a student showed remarkable dignity to the silent response to Chancellor Katehi when she left on Saturday. It did Gandhi proud. However, the faculty did not show the same good judgment and maturity in calling for the chancellor's immediate resignation. It was premature and unhelpful. And we are getting a few of those. Here's another listener, not many of these, but another listener who writes, I disagree in support of the UC system in moving the protesters off campus. They were warned and they did not act. It will happen again. But we're getting a lot more of these. Stephen writes, UC Davis pepper spray videos show a clear picture, an appalling, inappropriate, and disproportionate response to the student protest, a failure of the test of leadership precisely when leadership was called upon. Countess UCD alumnus is one of the many who demand Chancellor Katehi's firing and her incompetent police chief along with her. Let's get our callers on here, and let's get to you first here, JC. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. And I would just like to say that I would like to hear more calls for the individual officers who committed these acts to be punished and probably punished more harshly than like an individual citizen who did something like that, because they have more power and they have these weapons and they're supposed to be given this trust and they continually break it. And not all of the police did that, so I think the outliers should really be punished.
What do you say to this? Here's a web comment from someone named Mason. I'll ask you to directly, JC. He says, I've worked security. Sometimes we forget that guards and police are humans, too, subject to human anger and influences. Is it any wonder when let off the leash, campus police resorted to violence because they weren't given clear orders and constant training on how to deal with such contingencies?
Then they should walk away and they should state those problems. And instead of going and one wrong, two wrongs don't make a right. And if one of those protesters gets angry and does something to one of those police, imagine how harshly he'd be punished and probably beaten up before he got to jail and all sorts of things like that. And I don't see why the police should be protected from that sort of treatment.
Okay. Thank you for the
call.
Could
I just say, yeah, Michael, if you don't mind.
Eugene O'Donnell, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good time to say some of this stuff in terms of provoking the police, videoing the police, hoping for a video that will go viral. There's a civility question that should come up here that I don't want to divert to, but the protesters here, and I think Occupy Wall Street folks, there's a lot of good faith people out there for the right reasons. But some of this is really uncivil conduct directed towards the police. And even though it's technically legal, we should start to wonder whether that's the kind of, because the police are ordinary people. The police are working class people, and they don't deserve to be demonized. And some of this really does look like it's aimed at demonizing the police as an end game.
Aren't they part of the 99%?
Yeah, I mean, they're clinging for dear life to middle class status. So the idea of demonizing them as an end game, I think we should get beyond that also.
Question for Joe McNamara. This is from a listener who says, surely this is a failure of police leadership and campus community policing, a complete lack of understanding at the PD level of the community they are supposed to protect. What is the relationship and chain of authority between campus police and UCD administration, and why is there not more discussion of the obviously poor police-academic community relationship either here or at UC Berkeley?
Well, I think that's quite accurate. The chancellor and the administration of the university have the ultimate responsibility and to see that the police are properly trained and act properly. And clearly, they were unprepared. I mentioned that I wrote some articles with the Arab Spring warning that the American police should concentrate on training for crowd control because these kind of demonstrations are a game changer, and we can expect them in the United States. Pretty clearly, that was not done in Davis, and ultimately the responsibility is with the people who have oversight responsibility for the police. However, all of those police are subject to state law in what they must be trained in, and they are trained in the laws of arrest and the laws of use of force under the penal code. And those individual officers, in my opinion, violated the prevailing police practices and training that they received in California. Now, if they did not receive that training and it was not reinforced, then the responsibility lies with the people who have oversight.
And we go to more of your calls. Dan, you're on. Good morning. Welcome to Forum.
Good morning. I'd like to make a point about the systematic use of police repression against protesters at the UCs, and it's not just in the last days or weeks, but the history of this goes back at least several years with the student movements. There was police violence and repression at Berkeley in 2009, at UCLA in 2009, and I think that the ultimate responsibility has to rest with UC leadership, the chancellors, and ultimately the president of the university, Mark Udoff. What we see at Berkeley, for example, I'm a graduate student at Berkeley, is that we see the police out training. We saw them this fall, and what they're practicing are their baton thrusts. And is it any wonder that on November 9th, they use their batons to beat nonviolent protesters? From my point of view, this question about provocation is off to the side because there is a very systematic effort to repress nonviolent protests on the UC campuses.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate hearing from you. Let me go right to another caller. And Bert, thanks for waiting. Join us. You're on.
Hi. Did you say Bert? Me?
That's you, if you're Bert.
I am. Thank you very much for taking the call. If you just follow the progression of, you know, all of the Occupy movement for the last couple of weeks, it seems to me it's just a colossal distraction. We're talking about police who do what police do. They overreact when either provoked or even not provoked. The city of Oakland, the city of San Francisco have been confronted with spending a lot of money to clean up or supervise or try and get rid of encampments. And, you know, it's my feeling that the bankers and the people that have brought us the mess over which this whole protest movement began are laughing all the way to their 401ks. This is just a predictable kind of distraction when the real point was to publicize and maybe punish the banks, the brokerages that have brought us this mess. And look at where we are now. You know, you're talking about the police doing what the police do, which is overreacting. The campuses and the chancellors and the president of various universities, you know, being called on to resign. All of that may be warranted, but it just seems to me that the whole process has been circumvented and sent off in a direction that can't be anything but pleasing to the people that have been behind the whole, you know, financial collapse. So, you know, I'd like to see some focus on that, and I'd like to see the students on campus and the people at downtown Oakland and downtown San Francisco maybe help the cities to not spend a lot of money unnecessarily and money that they don't have, you know, on this whole sort of distraction, and maybe focus their energies on politely and peacefully lining up in front of banks and going in and opening accounts and closing accounts and bringing some of the pain back to the banks that have pained us all so much. And
well, that's been recommended by people in the movement. And Bert, thank you for the call. In fact, another recommendation along those lines from a listener writes, I don't think the chancellor should resign. I would like to see this be a wake-up call to her to truly move on and actually step up to address the problem students are demonstrating about in the first place. Call for a teach-in at the Occupy location on campus. Refuse raises and revise their generous compensation packages that include paid housing in luxurious neighborhoods. Revamp financial aid services and stop encouraging students to take out loans they won't be able to pay back. Another listener writes, the incident is merely another example of discretionary use of police power. Once a crime is committed, police are required by law to effect an arrest with increasing force up to and including lethal force. The laws are the problems, not tweaking the discretionary authority of a chancellor or a mayor. Well, how about that, Eugene O'Donnell, that we're talking maybe about police power here more than anything else, well, just being discretionary?
You know, I happen to teach at a place where we're trying to encourage good people with good motives who want to do public service to be cops. So I cringe at the cynicism that this is what the cops do and this is all the cops are about. That's really not fair. That really is, that's as unfair as any other stereotype. There's lots of great people going to law enforcement for the right reasons. And I'm sure many of your listeners are aware, the cops, if they had their choice, a lot of the cops, certainly in this city, I don't know about other places, but they would rather be off. They don't really want to be going head-to-head with people, of course, barricades, and they don't want to deal with the kinds of, you know, issues that come up. So I hope people will try to keep the cynicism to a minimum here. You know, it's the same crazy thing as saying all elected officials are crooks. That's just not true. It's really, and if you keep saying that, you're going to end up with the wrong people going into these places and doing the wrong thing. So I hope we don't hijack the conversation. There's a lot of good policing. There's been a lot of good policing in New York. Most of it has not been resulted in the cops doing anything untoward. There have been a few flashpoints that have become famous. But for thousands and thousands of hours of interaction with thousands of people, the police department in this city has done quite a good job, I think, on balance.
Well, let me get Joseph McNamara to comment again on discretionary police power. Could you, Joe?
Yeah, I have the utmost sympathy with the cops because they are provoked sometimes by experts. Part of the goals of the demonstrators is to get the police to overreact, and they're pretty expert at it in some cases. However, the police are trained about this and recognize that they have to be restrained and obey the law, and that's why it's unfortunate to see just a couple of police. After all, there were thousands of arrests made nationally and very few examples of any kind of excess by the police. And the fact is that the demonstrators win because that's what their goal is, to get the public focused on their cause. And the police lose because, unfortunately, people do characterize all police then as being excessive, and that's not what the issue is here. I think the issue is that we determine the policy in a democracy through the voters voting for candidates and who pass the laws that we are faced with, and we can't allow mobs of people to circumvent that and to establish public policy based upon the fact that they can create massive disorders.
Let me bring another UC Davis student who was among the demonstrators who were pepper sprayed by police into the conversation. Fatima Sabay is a senior at UC Davis. And Fatima, do we have you on the line?
Yeah. Hi.
Well, welcome. Good to have you. Thank you for being here. Your narrative of this is what we've heard from other students over the course of this hour, that you were sitting there peacefully, that there was no warning. Was there any taunting of the police, though, or was there any attempt to perhaps provoke the police?
No, we were sitting there peacefully. The police did come up to a few of the protesters and speak with them, saying, hey, are you cool here? And they're like, we're fine. We're just sitting. The only, I would say, No, there wasn't any provocation from the students at all. We were sitting there peacefully, and none of us were aware of the pepper spraying or that we would be sprayed until after the bystanders started screaming, cover your face, cover your face.
You saw the spraying occur for no reason. In other words, there really was no cause and effect. It was arbitrary. It was capricious.
Right. The police were saying that they had they weren't able to leave the circle and that their safety was at risk and yada, yada. But they were able to move out of the circle. There was about 5 or 6 cops in front of me who were behind me in the circle and managed to get out of the circle, and then they sprayed us. So they were able to leave the circle. When one cop asked, can you scoot over a little? The protesters did move and did allow an exit for the cop. So the argument of, oh, we were stuck in the circle is false. They did have the ability to leave.
You're on the campus now, actually, on the quad at the campus, and there's going to be a rally there at noon. What's up ahead as you see it?
As of now, we have about 50 people here at the Centennial Circle and near the Memorial Union. Signs are being made. One says for sale, public education, and we're just expecting a general assembly at noon for the entire campus and at large. People are coming in from everywhere. I've gotten reports from a friend driving up from LA to come to the protest. So as of now, there will be a speech by various professors, students, and hopefully from Chancellor Kotehi.
Well, thank you for joining us. Good luck to you. Fatima Sabay is a senior at UC Davis among those who were pepper sprayed demonstrating. And here's a listener. Richard says, I'm a Vietnam veteran, former firefighter, retired deputy district attorney. The pepper spraying was, in my opinion, an outrage, not just excessive force, but unwarranted use of force. Abusive use of force under the color of authority should not go unpunished. We cheer the Egyptians for the occupation of the square in Cairo, but in our country, we will not tolerate similar shows of civil displeasure with the power structure. Time for a quick call from you, Kenny, in Half Moon Bay. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to state, as a recent alumnus who spent 5 years at UC Davis very recently, that this response to Chancellor Kotehi is not in a vacuum. The rest of the world came recently to notice that she even exists through this action, but the faculty administration who called for her resignation, some people you had earlier were stating that it was hasty to do that. They've been dealing with this woman. There were the hate crimes, the figures back of anti-homosexual slurs being spray-painted on the LGBT Resource Center, and a lot of people weren't honestly happy with the way she handled that incident.
Okay, that's going to be the final word. Let me thank the caller. Let me thank those who joined us, Joseph McNamara, research fellow at Hoover and retired police chief of San Jose, and Eugene O'Donnell, professor of law and police studies at John Jay College in New York and former NYPD police officer. Thanks to Chancellor Kotehi, Linda Kotehi, who joined us earlier, Nathan Brown, assistant professor of English at UC Davis, and Jeffrey Wildanger, who is a second-year graduate student in art history at UC Davis. Thank you, our listeners, for all of us here at KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.